Been some good singing this morning. Choir did a great job. Yes. Miss Judy did a great job. Miss Donnie did a great job. Yes. Thank you very much for the singing. You know, the songs go right along with the message this morning. And I'll give you the title. The title is What This Church Thing Is All About. Amen. You can say, well, that could be anything. It's going to be a lot of things. But we'll move as quickly as we can. You know, I've been thinking just this week, I study all week long, well, this is what I'm going to preach on, and then God moves. And the most important thing when we come into the house of the Lord is that we have things the way that God wants them. It's about Him. We want to lift Him up and honor Him and glorify Him and serve Him and allow His Holy Spirit to be the leader and the guide. But you know, people drive up and down the roads here, Hiram City Road, and they see the cars in the parking lot. And they see the people. And there are some who understand church. They're just not involved in church. There are some who are involved somewhere else. And then there are some who just wonder what goes on inside the building. Why is it important that we serve God? Why is it important that we be in church? Why is it important that we serve God? I want to read just a text scripture, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and you pray for me. I'll try to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. And I want, honestly, what God wants this morning. My heart is very full. My heart is full because God is here, and I want to be able to feel His presence. My heart is full because I feel very blessed. Now, folks, I have my burdens. I have things that are on my heart. It's like the song, everybody's going through something. Every one of us here have things. You know, you hear songs like we just heard sing, and we get to sung, and we think about heaven, and we think about a land where all the heartaches, all the burdens, all the troubles are gone. But as long as we're here, we're going to have some. And every one of us have some. They're different. They're not exactly the same. But, you know, I've heard and I've said myself, if you're not going through something, get ready, you're going to be. I think we're kind of in a time now, with all the pressures of life and all the challenges of life, it's going to be rare if you're trying to serve God that you're not going to say, I'm going through something right now. Now, if you're one of those who's so blessed, everything's going great, everything's going perfect, here's what I suggest you do. You get close to God. You put God first in your life and you prepare yourself for the future because you don't know what's around the next corner. And if you're not prepared, you're not walking with Him, and you're not strong, I'll tell you what's going to happen. You will get blown off course. Now, I want to read John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5, and then I'll try to share with you the things that God has placed on my heart. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I just read you five verses. And I sat there as I was looking at these verses, if some of these school systems would get a hold of this, they could save a whole lot of paper. All these textbooks that they're printing, the theory of evolution, Darwin's theory of whatever. I mean, I want to tell you something. Let's get a hold of it. What this church thing is all about, let's start right here. Let's see. It's about God. Amen. There is a God, and we are not Him. Okay? Why do we come to church? Why is it important? I want you to think about these things. Where did I come from? Why am I here on this earth? Where am I going when I leave? You begin to take those simple thoughts and you begin to try to process them if you're willing to even think about them. I believe what the devil does with most people is he just gets them so distracted by the things of the world that they go through life and they never think about the things in life that are serious and important. Do you ever stop and think about where we came from? When I begin to think about it and I think about the possibilities, and I can't help but think that there is a God who is a creator, and He's greater than I am, and He created me, or else I'm forced to believe in nothing that turned into something. Now, when you begin to really study and you go behind the people who are responsible for these theories, you get right to the root of it. You find that some of them actually became Christians on their deathbed. and they renounced what they wrote, but the books that they wrote, although they renounced them, are still being taught not as theory but as fact. You find some of these professors that came up with these different possibilities for evolution that actually come out and will tell you that there is not one iota of support that actually proves the theories are true, but the only possibility is God, and they couldn't even think of that being reality. You know, when you think of those things, I want you to think about where you came from. Did you come from nothing that turned into something, or are you created by God, for God, in the image of God? Now, why are we here on this earth? This is where a lot of people get it wrong. They think they're here for themselves. They think they're here to make as much money as they can make, to have as many things as they can have. Now, I can tell you today, if I knew that my life were going to be over in a week, I tell you what I'd do for the next week. I'd be having one giant yard sale. Because I got a whole lot of stuff. Now, sometimes I complain about my wife's stuff. I was sitting there yesterday, and I had the garage door open, and here come a FedEx truck. And I'm thinking, there comes Luke's cell phone cover, because I ordered him one that it never showed up. And, here he comes. He's got a Creative Memories box. And he comes up with it, and it's more stuff. You know what I did? I took it to her, and I said, here, honey, here's your stuff. I didn't complain. You know why I didn't complain? But I'm just going to be honest with you. I got more stuff than anybody, okay? But you know what I'd do with it? If I knew that my life were about to be over, I'd have to get rid of that stuff. I'd have to get it out of the house. You know why? Because when I'm gone, even though it might be treasure to me, it's nothing but clutter to them. You know, what people think, the reason I'm here is so I can do what I want, be what I want, get more stuff. That is not why you are on this earth. You are on this earth because you are created by God, and here's what people don't want, for the purpose of God. You are His child, whether you accept Him or not. He loves you. He cares for you. He wants you. He has wants a relationship with you. And here's where people don't want to hear it. God has work for you to do. Some people do it, some people don't. And here's the way it is usually around church, is you got some people that just absolutely work themselves to death, and they're not doing it out of obligation. You know why they do it? Because they love it. Now, here's a concern I have when I see that, is let's just make sure, because, you know, I love it. I love the things of God. But sometimes, I want to tell you, it's right here. You know, when I grew up, I had to teach myself to swim. I can remember being in a swimming pool, and I'd get out there to where the deep end was, and I didn't want the other kids to know I couldn't swim, and I would bounce on my toes. I'd get about as deep as I could get, and then I had to learn how to tread water. Do you know that you can do that in ministry, too? And the reason a lot of people are doing that today is because there's a whole lot of people that hadn't realized you're here for the service of God. And when you quit serving yourself all the time, you might find that there can be some joy in life that lasts for more than a day. Why are we here? We're here for Him. We'll get to a little bit more of that in a minute. And then we sing these songs, and we can talk about God's blessings and what we got to this also. A couple of the songs mentioned eternity. I want you to think about it. Where are you going? You know, you say, well, I'm just a young person. I don't need to worry about it right now. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You know, sometimes it's amazing to me how people who say they don't believe in God, don't serve God, want to know why God isn't doing something about all the crime. Why isn't God doing something about all this abuse of children? Why is God allowing all these drug problems to go on? Why is God doing this? Why is God doing that? Do you believe in God? Do you serve God? The answer they say is no. I'll tell you what their problem is. They don't want to let God be God. They think they are God. But here's one thing to understand. When you start judging God, you can't add to your life one breath. You can't do anything to prolong your future. If God calls your number is up and you're going to be gone. I've done funerals for babies. I've done funerals for teenagers. I've done funerals for people in their 20s. I've done funerals for people in their 30s, their 40s, their 50s, and I've done some that were close to 100 years old. But I want you to understand something. Compared to eternity, 100 is just a little bit.
Amen.
So the question you got to think about, where am I going when I die? Well, I had a guy tell me at work one time. He told me, he said, look, I'm just believe this. He said, I believe I'm like a German shepherd. I said, what do you mean? And I'm not sure he's even got that right. He said, when I die, you're just going to put me in a hole in the ground. How sad. How sad to go through life. And here's the thing you need to realize and understand. If you believe that, nothing you do today matters. Nothing. If I believe that, what's the use? Paul said, what does it profit us if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, what is this church thing all about? You got one of these? I want to go through some things. I want you to think about it. This is a Bible. Now, here's what we believe about the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's holy word. That means that this book right here is inspired by men of God as they were moved on by the Holy Spirit when God moved on them, and they penned these words, and it was penned in unison because God had his hand in it. It is a perfect trilogy of numbers, 66 books written in three languages over a period of over 2,000 years where men moved. The Old Testament supports the New Testament. The New Testament supports the Old Testament. If you go to college and you start talking to them, what their secular opinion is it's circular reason. Because the Bible supports the Bible. I want to tell you why it's unique and why it's powerful and why it's real. It's because it was written by men over here, prophets, and it was written by men over here thousands of years later, and the whole circle is fit together because God's finger was right in the middle of it. This is the Word of God, and here's what we believe about this book. We believe this book is greater than any other book. We believe that this book is inspired by God and that this book is inerrant. What does that mean? That means it is without error. We met recently with the West Metro Association looking at the possibility of growing the church in the future and really becoming a part of a body to support one another in these last days. We'll talk more about that later. But here's one thing that the man said. I said, what do you want the people that are part of your association to believe? Because I wanted him to give me some good stuff. I wanted to make sure that what they believed support what we believed. And here's one thing he said that I like. He said, we believe in the inerrancy of Scripture. That is, that we believe that God's Word is true, it is without error, and it is the ultimate authority on everything about life. Now, if the Bible is the ultimate authority, and here's where people have a problem with God. The Bible is the ultimate authority regarding moral conduct. I don't make the rules. God makes the rules. You know, sometimes I see people, and especially in the secular generation that we're living in today, you see it on the news, you see it in television programs, they will find a way to make a snide remark about this book and what it believes and teaches. And it's directed at the people of God. And even if you are a Christian and you believe the Bible, they label you as being intolerant. Now, I want you to understand something. The love of God includes everybody. And he loves everybody, and I want you to understand something, church. We're supposed to disagree with sin, and we need to still stand on the Word of God. But one thing that needs to be clear is the love that we have for people, just because we disagree with the way a person lives, does not mean that we don't love the person. Amen. Because if we're going to love them the right way, here's part of what love does. Love speaks the truth. When you lie to somebody and you don't tell them the truth about where they're at, you're not loving them. See, the Bible is the ultimate authority regarding moral conduct. The Bible is the ultimate authority regarding marriage. The Bible is the ultimate authority regarding all manners of life. The Bible is the ultimate authority regarding how we are to treat one another. That's why the Bible teaches us that we ought to walk even as Christ walked, and we ought to love one another and bear one another's burdens. It tells us that we ought to treat others as we want to be treated ourselves. See, the Bible is the ultimate authority also about how we should forgive. You see, Christians are, and they should be, the most forgiving people in the world. You know, as we were meeting with this group, they said the Southern Baptist Association is responsible for sending out more missionaries than any other group in the world. If it were not for the United States and what God has done in this country, I want to tell you something. There are many parts of the world that would never have been evangelized. Now, you know, Mission work is part of the work of the church of God. It said, first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the world. There is so much work to do that we cannot get it done. And I want to remind you of something, and I'm going to move on. It says, what is this church thing all about? I'm going to just preach until I run out of time, because I can't preach at all. This county, Paulding County, is one of the fastest growing counties in the state of Georgia. Recently, I don't know where it's at right now. It's probably in the number two or three category, but it surpassed Gwinnett County for being the fastest growing county in the state. Per capita, there are fewer churches in Paulding County than any other county in the state of Georgia because of the population. What that means and what that tells us is Jesus said, you look to the fields, they're white already to harvest. Folks, there are people that need to be in the house of God. There are people who need to be in church. There are people who need to hear about Jesus. There are people who need to be in Celebrate Recovery on Monday night, Brother Tom. There are people who need God. There are people who need help. And what we're supposed to do, going back to the second thing I said, is why are we here? We are here to serve God. And this is the ultimate authority. And I've got a little note here. It says, a vote from a group of non-believers does not negate the Word of God. You know, sometimes people say, well, I went to so-and-so school, and I went to this school, and I've got that, and I've done that. And that almost like they think that because they have a degree from an Ivy League school, if they say something, we need to erase what's in the Bible and just do what they say. I want to tell you something. They don't take the authority over the Word of God. Amen. You can have a... Amen. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes. Yes. This is the Bible. This is our authority. Sometimes people ask me something. I say, well, I didn't write it. I didn't write it. But if I'm going to believe it, I have to accept it. This is a Bible. This is a church. A church is a place where we gather to worship. It's a holy place. We reverence it, we respect it, and we believe in protecting it. You know, the question, why worship? Why do we come together? And I'll tell you, going back to the beginning, because God is God. He is holy, He is worthy, and I think the reason we should worship is because we were created to do so. You see, people that go through life and they never find the meaning of true worship will never be satisfied because they can never fill the void that's inside of them. It's a God-shaped hole. And what people do is they cram the things in the world, whatever they can find inside of it. For some people, it's fortune, it's fame. You know, for a lot of people, fortune would not be enough if it were not for fame because they crave that. There's such a craving for it today, and here's what it boils down to. There's a void inside of people that they are trying to fill up. And you can try everything in the world that there is, but until you are worshiping and at peace with God, you will never find the satisfaction that you need. You see, we were created to worship, and the church is a place where we gather for worship. But I'll tell you something that I like about the church as a family of God. This is a place of fellowship. Amen. You know, we can come together here and, you know, as Baptists, if we meet, we eat. Amen. And I like that. I do. I don't have a problem with that. I like the fried chicken. I like the homemade ice cream. I like the hot dogs and the chili and the nachos and the fried Oreos and all those good things. But you know what I really like to see when we're having those get-togethers? Is I like to see God's people together. I like to see this group over here meeting this family and this group over here meeting this family. Because the truth is, as the family of God, sometimes you're closer than their natural family. Can I tell you something? If you don't realize this, maybe you need to understand how blessed you are. If you have a Christian family where you can get together at Christmas or Thanksgiving, and you can gather together around the table and everybody can join hands and you can pray, and you don't have to hide your pocketbook from your cousin. And you're not worried about getting new. Hey, y'all laugh. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's true. You don't have to worry about getting into a fight with your brother or your brother's wife or your in-law. And you don't have to worry about locking your car because the little people down the street are going to get into it. You ought to just praise God that you got a Christian family within your family. But not everybody's got that. And based on what information comes back to me, I think most people don't have that. So when we come into the house of God and we're worshiping together, that's why sometimes your church family can be closer to you than your natural family. You ever had somebody say to you in your family, hey, we got to get together to go to, and you say, oh, Lord. And this, I've even said, I remember last year. But when they have a get-together over here, and you know it's supposed to rain next Saturday, and I'm so sad. Maybe it'll change. We'll just have to do something else if it does. But when I think about us getting together, I think about the fall festival. Or I think about the men's banquet when we get together over here on Friday nights. And there's so much fellowship, and we stand around the fire, and we talk about the goodness of God. You ever went to lunch with somebody at work and they claim to be a Christian, you bring up the things of God, it's like you poured cold water all over the table in their head. I like to be around people that like to talk about the things of God. You see, this is a place we gather for teaching, for preaching, for fellowship, and support. It's where you pray for one another. It's where you care for one another. Where you encourage one another. It's where you lift one another up to try to help one another in life. You know, because, you know, I might be going through something. And I might just need somebody sometime to send me a text and say, hey, I'm praying for you. Somebody you know, they might be going through something, and it might mean the world for you to be able to be there to support them during their time of trial. This is a family of God. You study the Old Testament church, it was on the first day of the week. If you read your Bible about the New Testament church, they met very early in the morning on the first day of the week, and that's what their service was every week. You know, as Christians, and we meet on the first day of the week, we don't meet on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day is Saturday. We do that because that was the practice of the Christian church. Now, church, this is an altar. Now, I'll tell you, for me, I believe in prayer. I believe in an altar. Amen. I don't know if I'll call it old-fashioned, or maybe I just believe that's why we're here. Yes. You know, we come into the house of God, we have singing. I love the singing. The singing was so good, the Spirit so strong here. Yeah. And I do love to preach, Brother Tom, I do. I know. I'm going to quit in a minute, though. But you know what I like most is when people do business with God. My heart's desire and prayer when I came to this church is I wanted these altars to be full. If we get to the point one day that we can expand church, I'll tell you one thing I want. I want to find a way to make the altar a little bigger. Maybe have the steps go around here and here. And I love this beautiful stuff that Brother Keith built, but I, as much as I like it, I'd rather see people have more room to pray. Because when we come into the house of God, the most important thing that you could get in the house of God is for you to do business with God. It's not about what I think. It's not about what somebody else thinks. It's nobody's business to talk about you if you come to the altar. Yes. If they do, they need to be here before you, not after you. See, this is a place where we get in touch with God, where we kneel at the feet of Jesus. It's a place that I can get cleansing. It's a place that I can get encouragement. Now, I don't know if you feel this way, but sometimes I still do. My dad's gone to be with the Lord. He died in 2006. It seems like yesterday. Sometimes I begin to think about him, and I begin to think about the man he was, and I can't help but just feel like for a little bit, he's sitting right beside me, and I'm talking to him. I love those times. There are times that I'll come in from work and I'll be so beat down, I'll say, Kendra, would you sit in the recliner and just rock me for a little bit? That's the way that I feel. There are times that I'll come in and I know that I'm gray-headed and I know I look older than I do, not homeless. But I'll tell you, sometimes I feel like just a little boy. I get scared and I'm afraid and I've got burdens and I've got things that are on me and I just want to be like my little grandson when he comes in. He can go to his nana and whatever he wants, he's going to get it. He's going to be taken care of. He'll come in there, and if he don't want to eat whatever they've prepared, I said, just here, eat this. Here's some chocolate cake for breakfast. Well, why are you saying all that? There are times that you'll come into the house of God, there'll be a weight on you, there'll be heaviness on you, and what you need to do is that the arms of Jesus are wide open. He's standing to welcome you, and all he wants you to do is come to him and let him wrap his arms around you. Let him wrap his love around you and give you the things that you need. You ever just had to come to him and say, Lord, I just need you. I'm just heavy. I just need you to speak to me. You know, so what's this church thing all about? Folks, we are on this earth because there is a creator God. He's in heaven. There is a heaven. You see, we believe in heaven. We believe the Bible. And I believe I'm going. And when my time comes, I want to go. But in the meantime, what you going to do? Tell you what I want to be doing. I want to be found doing what's pleasing to God. I want to be living my life in such a way that God's pleased. Amen. Sometimes I say this to people. I've said this to Brother Allen. I've had this conversation with my brother. I've had it with just about every preacher that I have an opportunity to talk to at this level. As I tell you how I want to live my life. I want to live my life in such a way that when I walk behind this pulpit, there is nothing between me and God that would keep God from pouring himself out on me. I want to live my life in such a way that when my wife needs me. You ever got those calls? And you can tell by the tone of the voice. It's not how you're doing today. If my wife calls, I want to be ready. If my boys call, I want to be ready. See, one thing I've told them. They start to drive. They're learning. They're getting out in the world. I don't care what you do. I don't care whose fault it is. If you need me, you call me. Amen. That's the way God is. Amen. But for me, I'm not God. I tell you what I want to be. I want to be ready. How about you? You know, I got a whole lot more here. I can't preach all of it. I heard a preacher one time say, you know, you don't have to preach the whole Bible in one sermon. But I want to ask you a question. What do you believe? What do you believe about this church thing? What do you believe about where you came from? What about why you're here? Maybe God's calling you to a closer walk with him. And can I tell you that serving the Lord's good? Being in the house of the Lord is good. What about where you're going? And can I say this, and we're going to give an altar call, give you an opportunity to pray. And by the way, I'll tell you, I think the altar call time is the most important time of any service. If you're going to be attentive, if you're going to be still, if you're going to be prayerful, that's the time. Because God is doing business. What about where you're going? You don't go to heaven because you're good. You don't go to heaven because you give enough. You don't go to heaven because you do enough. You go to heaven because you accept Christ. Jesus Christ. And Christ is not his last name. It's who he is. He's the Messiah. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet this morning. And God spoke to your heart. And you'd like to pray. You can pray. You can come. You can just ask the Lord whatever you want to talk to him about. That's the way he is. He can handle anything. And I'll tell you why he can handle it. Because the Bible says he already knows. He just wants you to come and be in communion with him. If you're hearing God spoke to your heart, would you please come?